Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is January 9, 2020. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about ESMA wants to create sound legal framework for cryptocurrencies in 2020. Interpol leads operation to tackle cryptojacker infecting over 20,000 routers. New York governor proposes giving financial watchdog more teeth. Ethereum developer Virgil Griffith indicted over North Korea event appearance. Nervous Network will hand out $30 million to encourage third-party development. AT&T's cybersecurity branch breaks down crypto miner threat to email servers. North Korean hackers now using Telegram to steal crypto, Kaspersky. Australians want use Libra, believes central bank. Bitcoin's bull bias intact despite 6% price pullback. Now let's get started. ESMA wants to create sound legal framework for cryptocurrencies in 2020. The European Securities and Markets Authority, ESMA, plans to push for more regulation around cryptocurrencies and related products as part of its 2020 focus. ESMA published its 2020-2022 priorities list Thursday, noting that EU capital markets are facing new risks from digitalization. The organization wants market participants to acknowledge and prepare for these apparent risks. The dangers of cyber threats to the financial system as a whole and a sound legal framework for crypto assets are increasingly becoming areas of focus for ESMA together with the other ESAs, the ESRB, the ECB and the European Commission, the document reads. ESMA has been grappling with the question of how to regulate cryptocurrencies and securities in the space for years, developing rules for initial coin offerings and derivatives around the space. Interpol leads operation to tackle cryptojacker infecting over 20,000 routers. International crime-fighting agency Interpol has taken action to stem a plague of cryptocurrency mining malware afflicting computer routers across Asia. According to a Wednesday blog post from Trendmicro, which assisted the operation, Interpol's Global Complex for Innovation (IGCI) in Singapore led a five-month effort to tackle the epidemic of the CoinHive cryptojacker, which was installed by cybercriminals exploiting a vulnerability in MicroTik routers. Dubbed Operation Goldfish Alpha, the action saw Interpol work with experts from National Computer Emergency Response Teams, CERTS, and police across 10 nations across Asia to identify infected routers and help victims remove the malware. A release from Interpol identifies the countries as Brunei, Cambodia, Indonesia, Laos, Malaysia, Myanmar, Philippines, Singapore, Thailand, and Vietnam. Trendmicro said it had prepared a guidance document that was used to guide victims in patching the vulnerability and uninstalling the miner. At least 20,000 infected routers were found, a number that was reduced by at least 78% by the collaborative action when it ceased in November. Efforts are still continuing to remove the malware. Private entity Cyber Defense Institute also assisted the operation, said Interpol. When faced with emerging cybercrimes like cryptojacking, the importance of strong partnerships between police and the cybersecurity industry cannot be overstated, said Interpol Director of Cybercrime Craig Jones. By combining the expertise and data on cyber threats held by the private sector with the investigative capabilities of law enforcement, we can best protect our communities from all forms of cybercrime. New York governor proposes giving financial watchdog more teeth. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo wants to give the Department of Financial Services, NYDFS, more powers in regulating certain licensed entities, including cryptocurrency startups. Cuomo presented his 2020 State of the State plan on Wednesday, publishing a 321-page list of proposals including a new look at exemptions that currently exist for certain consumer financial products and services. While NYDFS, the creator of the notoriously hard-to-acquire BIT license, can already bring enforcement actions against unlicensed entities, some companies can claim that they are not subject to the regulator because they do not directly sell their products to consumers. Further, insurance and banking laws grant NYDFS the authority to collect costs for assessments, but companies operating under the financial services law are not explicitly required to pay up. Entities licensed under the FSL, e.g. virtual currency entities, are not required to pay such assessments, despite being subject to similar examination and oversight requirements, the document reads. Cuomo wants to amend the law to close these loopholes, according to the document. NYDFS has regulated cryptocurrency startups under its virtual currency license since mid-2014. Superintendent Linda Lacewell announced last October that the agency was reviewing the regime, citing the crypto industry's evolution since the BIT license was first proposed. Proposed changes include a modification to the approval process for listing cryptocurrencies and a model framework for coin listings that exchanges can use. NYDFS is accepting public comment through January 27. Ethereum developer Virgil Griffith indicted over North Korea event appearance. Ethereum developer Virgil Griffith has been indicted over allegations relating to a conference appearance in North Korea last April. In a court document filed in the Southern District of New York on January 7, see below, Griffith is charged by a grand jury with one count of conspiracy to violate the International Emergency Economic Powers Act. The defendant and others had conspired to breach the prohibitions of the act when Griffith provided services to the Democratic People's Republic of Korea without obtaining approval from the U.S. Treasury's Office of Foreign Asset Control, according to the indictment. The developer is also alleged to have attempted to evade U.S. legal requirements during his actions. The document adds that one or more of the alleged co-conspirators is expected to be brought to New York and arrested. Griffith was arrested on Thanksgiving for allegedly attending a cryptocurrency conference hosted by the North Korean government and sharing his expertise in using cryptocurrency. According to a complaint brought against Griffith on November 21, he had sought approval to attend the conference, which was denied. He then traveled to the conference anyway. Despite receiving warnings not to go, Griffith allegedly traveled to one of the United States' foremost adversaries, North Korea, where he taught his audience how to use blockchain technology to evade sanctions, John Demers, an assistant attorney general for national security, said at the time. If found guilty, Griffith faces up to 20 years in jail. The U.S. Attorney's Office also wants Griffith to forfeit any property or money obtained for his appearance in North Korea. Griffith had served as the head of special projects for the Ethereum Foundation but has been suspended since his arrest, according to a previous report. North Korean hackers now using Telegram to steal crypto, Kaspersky. A cybersecurity firm has warned cryptocurrency users to expect more attacks from North Korea as its hackers develop enhanced capabilities to deliver malware through popular messaging app Telegram. Moscow-based Kaspersky Labs has been analyzing new attacks from the Lazarus Group, a cybercrime group with links to North Korea, to determine how its techniques have developed since the Apple Jesus attack on several cryptocurrency exchanges in 2018. In research published Wednesday, the cybersecurity firm said there have been significant changes to the group's attack methodology. One case study involved what appeared to be a software update for a fake cryptocurrency wallet that, once downloaded, began to transmit user data to hackers. Another example involved creating a backdoor for Mac software that bypassed security mechanisms without the computer ever being aware it was under attack. A seemingly new attack vector has been to deliver malware through the Telegram messaging app. Researchers found some victims' computers had downloaded a manipulated software with embedded malware that would send sensitive data to hackers without them being aware. Many of these channels were for fake cryptocurrency companies, presumably set up by the hackers themselves. One recently detected fake site was for a smart cryptocurrency arbitrage trading platform. Kaspersky researchers found these websites were often incomplete and filled with broken links, aside from the ones that took visitors to the Telegram channel. Kaspersky said it was able to identify several victims from Poland, Russia, China, and the UK, most with links to cryptocurrency businesses. But Lazarus itself remains a mystery. By running malware through computer memory rather than a hard disk drive, the group generally avoids detection. Although the group is widely believed to be affiliated with North Korea, the secretive regime has repeatedly denied responsibility for its attacks. Cybersecurity firm Group IB estimated the group stole nearly $600 million worth of cryptocurrency in 2017 and most of 2018. Because its attacks are so successful, Kaspersky researchers are convinced the group will continue stealing cryptocurrency. This kind of attack on cryptocurrency businesses will continue and become more sophisticated, the report reads. The U.S. Department for Treasury placed the Lazarus Group on the U.S. sanctions list in 2019, meaning that any financial institution found dealing with it faces sanctions. This week, Ethereum developer Virgil Griffith was indicted by U.S. authorities for speaking at a conference in North Korea. If found guilty, he faces up to 20 years in prison. Australians want use Libra, believes Central Bank. The Reserve Bank of Australia, RBA, has expressed doubt over whether cryptocurrencies, including Libra and Central Bank Digital Currencies, CBDCs, will ever become viable solutions. In a submission, PDF, to the Select Committee on Financial Technology and Regulatory Technology just before Christmas, RBA officials were skeptical that cryptocurrencies, in their current and future forms, would ever replace government-issued money. Although newer initiatives like Libra and CBDCs could promote financial inclusion, the bank's current assessment is that innovation in the broader fintech space will make these solutions redundant. In Australia, it is unclear that there will be strong demand for global stablecoins even if they do meet all regulatory requirements, particularly for domestic payments, reads the submission. Australia is already well served by a range of low-cost and efficient real-time payment methods, such as the NPP New Payments Platform, that utilize funds held in accounts at prudentially supervised financial institutions. In 2018, the RBA established an in-house research team to better evaluate new technologies for the country's payments system. That includes Central Bank Digital Currencies, where the team has trialed a wholesale settlement system on a private Ethereum network, to better understand whether tokens could create efficiencies in issuing currency to commercial banks. CBDCs have seen support from some central bankers, including Christine Lagarde and Mark Carney. The People's Bank of China, PBOC, is currently putting its digital yuan through real-world tests ahead of public issuance sometime in the future. But the RBA believes a digital Australian dollar would be an unnecessary disruption to the existing financial system, particularly for retail use. The bank cites research by accounting firm Ernst & Young that also found a CBDC would be the least effective solution for promoting growth in the Australian fintech sector. Following years of watching the asset class, the RBA remains unconvinced about the future of cryptocurrencies. Most are rarely used or accepted as payment, despite some being around for nearly a decade, their price volatility makes them popular with speculators, rather than with ordinary citizens. This explains why cryptocurrencies have not become widely used in Australia as a means of payment, reads the RBA submission. Although the Australia government has trialed various solutions, including a token by its bullion mint that allows investors to trade and settle gold in real time, it has adopted a fairly skeptical view to cryptocurrencies overall. The chief digital officer of the Digital Transformation Agency, DTA, said last year that although blockchain was interesting, it had been overhyped by the industry. The RBA's governor, Philip Lowe, said last summer he didn't see what role the newly launched Libra project would fill in a country that already has an efficient electronic payment system. Conventional systems include the NPP, which launched in 2018 to provide Australian citizens with a real-time solution that allows users to send transactions using a phone number or email address. Although it had been backed by the central bank, uptake has been low with only a handful of commercial banks currently support the platform. An RBA report in June 2019 described the rollout as disappointing. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again PayCademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.